In-depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to the program for Monday, September 19th, 2011 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Telework has been a tough nut for some federal agencies to crack, and the Telework Enhancement Act passed and signed by President Obama recently has helped, but has not gone all the way quite yet. We're going to talk about telework in hour number one of the program today. Cynthia Henderson is an instructor for the Graduate School USA in the areas of telework, management, leadership, and much more. And Cynthia is my guest for the hour to talk about telework and how to improve it at your agency. It's great to see you today. Thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you, Francis. Happy to be here.
Tell me more about you and what you do in addition to serving as an instructor to Graduate School USA.
I'm a leadership development facilitator and trainer, conducting workshops all over the United States, helping managers really address the issue of strategic planning and guiding teams and groups as they really look at how are they effective with the work they do. I help them get there creatively, interactively, and fun.
Fun is the best part.
Fun indeed.
Rule number one of this show is that you have to have a good time while you're here, and I have a sense that we're going to accomplish that throughout
the course of
the hour. When it comes to strategic planning, are managers finally starting to get the idea that telework is a part of that and not a bolt-on? It seemed for a long time like people treated telework as this extra thing that's added on to whatever our strategic plan is.
Well, they're really looking at how to get the work done. Strategic planning involves having a vision of what you want to get done and creating a plan for getting it done, clear about everyone's role, responsibility, and accountability for it. So telework does feed into that just as a method of getting the work done. You don't have to be physically located in a particular place to do it. Expand the options and then look at how do you achieve accountability for the work. Telework just adds in the other dimension of an alternate work site to do it.
Mm-hmm. My sense is that at federal agencies, the upper-level managers, secretaries, and so on understand the value of telework, especially as it relates to the financial end of operating the agency. We'll talk about that later on in the hour, of course. And the rank-and-file employees want to do it because they understand especially the lifestyle options that it gives them that they don't have otherwise. And it's the folks in the middle, the direct supervisors of a lot of the rank-and-file employees, that have a little bit less success getting on board with telework. Is that a fair observation, do you think?
Well, some of the employees want to do it. Most of them do, but not all. Some of them have some challenges with really looking at, am I a self-starter?
Mm-hmm.
And do I need that interaction with other people in the office? So some of them have those challenges. Most of them really see the benefit of being able to have some balance with their life and reduce that commute time to and from work. So most of the employees are really on board with it. But mm-hmm. there are a few that are not. The managers usually, they're getting better now, but usually the managers don't quite see the value of having people to do work where they can't verify that they're doing it with their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So verifying by sight, meaning I see you in your cubicle or in your office, so therefore you must be doing work,
mm-hmm.
versus I cannot see you, but that means you may not be doing any work. The difference that we're really trying to help people understand, and that's what the Graduate School USA's classes do with the professional development end of this, is really to help managers understand that you don't have to see people to make sure that they're working. How do you verify results? And that's really management with accountability.
Mm-hmm.
What accountability mechanisms do you put in place to ensure that you achieve the outcomes desired and that everyone is on the same page? That training is absolutely essential if you're going to move from the paradigm that says everyone is in the office, I can see you, therefore you must be working, even though you are staring at a blank screen or a screen that has some shopping network on there, versus being at home and or an alternate work site
mm-hmm.
and really producing results. And the research has shown that people who are at alternate work sites produce much better results than the ones who are in the office. So the managers are having to rethink this because the evidence is coming back to indicate that maybe there's more to this telework thing than they thought before.
And when you say alternate work sites, Has that become, especially because GSA has closed the telework centers mm-hmm. around the Beltway, outside the Beltway, has alternate work sites just become a euphemism for home, or is that, are there other elements there?
Well, it used to be called home, mm-hmm. and I think the challenge became then that, okay, so you're home today, so I'm not going to bother you.
I see.
Forget the fact that you're being paid and you're supposed to be working.
That's right.
But you're at home. I'm not going to bother you today. So it's really looking at changing that language from home, the home mentality, to you have a site at your residence, mm-hmm. and that is your work site. So it could be the alternate work site in your place of your residence. It could be that you're with other agencies where they still have a few of those satellite centers around with federal agencies. Or you can go to two employees together can work on a project, and they could be at some other location mm-hmm. where they are focusing on it together. So alternate work site encapsulates all of that and just helps people to stop thinking about being at home and not bothering you at home. No, you're working.
And that's kind of what I was getting at, because there was, I think for a long time, that mentality that when I'm at home, well, that doesn't really count as working, so mm-hmm. I'm not going to interact with that person.
Yes, yes.
Are you seeing that kind of go away? Are people starting
slowly,
to understand that?
Yeah. Slowly, slowly. The more people start to telework, the more they begin to adopt that mentality where they see that there is a difference, and the more that they are trained. Most recently, we did the Graduate School USA did a training at one of the federal agencies with employees. We do employees as well as the managers and then the SES decision makers. And so with the employee training, there was some resistance. And the resistance really related to, I don't know if I really want to do this. I'm not sure if someone's going to will I be able to interact with people in the office? Is that team bonding thing that I'm missing? Something's not quite right here. So just trying to understand what this is all about and get a good grasp of it. Training makes all the difference mm-hmm. from all different levels. And once they're trained and their fears are kind of begin to dissipate, and as a result, they adopt more of the whole philosophy of teleworking and to see the benefits of it,
mm-hmm.
especially when you look at the traffic outside
yeah.
and you look at the Beltway.
Yeah, no and thanks to that.
And then you start to think, would I like to sit in that? Or could I be in my alternate work site in the clothes that I choose to be in mm-hmm. producing?
Yeah. You talk about verifying results. I had a conversation last week with a gentleman that I've known for a long, long time, and he's a coach of entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, boy, I'd sure like to see more of the techniques that my clients use in their entrepreneurial activities in the federal government. As I prepared today for talking to you about telework, I thought about that idea, and the reason is this. Entrepreneurs get paid based mm-hmm. on strictly their performance. If they don't do anything, they don't get paid. This seems like kind of a step in that direction, because you're not just going in, doing 9 to 5, punching the clock, doing your 40 and going home. Your manager really is judging you more on, did Francis get this project done?
Yes.
Did he hit this deadline? Did he and Cynthia work together mm-hmm. to get this finished?
Mm-hmm.
And so it is a little bit more headed in that direction, isn't it?
It is. It's accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And it's accountability from both ends, not only from the employee's perspective, but the manager's perspective as well. The employee's perspective that when before you go into your telework arrangement, there is clarity between you and your manager. What are you going to be focusing on? Not only in the telework arrangement, but in the office as well. So it's really what you do in the office, you also do in a telework arrangement. So it kind of blends the two together,
mm-hmm.
the office and telework experience. But it's management isn't good management. It's all about good management.
Yeah.
You're held accountable for getting the things done in the office, X, Y, and Z. You're held accountable for getting the things done at your alternate work site, X, Y, and Z. Did you do it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes or no?
Yep. I want to talk to you about, you mentioned some of the training that you do
mm-hmm.
and the three levels of staff that you work with when you go into the agencies. I
mm-hmm.
want to talk about what kind of feedback you're getting from them when we come back. My
okay.
guest is Cynthia Henderson on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We'll continue our conversation in just a moment.
I'm like you. I watch the cherry blossoms bloom in the spring. I live amongst monuments and museums. I enjoy walks on the National Mall. Washington, D.C. is my home. This is where I found my career. I am a civilian employee of the United States Coast Guard. That's right, the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard provides me with great workplace training and excellent federal benefits. It allows me to live my life to the fullest. I have time off to travel and have flexible work hours so I can spend time with my family. Coast Guard gives me access to childcare, health and fitness programs, and first-class health insurance, life insurance, and retirement benefits. This is my career. It's how I serve. Find out more about U.S. Coast Guard positions available in D.C. and across the U.S. at CoastGuardCivilian.com/federal. That's CoastGuardCivilian.com/federal. The U.S. Coast Guard is an equal opportunity employer.
For more than 80 years, Motorola has been committed to keeping Americans safe. Today, Motorola Solutions provides interoperable communication systems that are built to open standards so federal, state, and local agencies can work together in emergency situations and be their best in the moments that matter. That's why first responders and others dedicated to keeping citizens safe choose Motorola Solutions, because they know Motorola Solutions always puts public safety first, just like they do. To learn more, visit MotorolaSolutions.com/80. Looking to get more from your technology investment? Look to HP Desktop Computing, powered by Vision Pro technology from AMD. Together, HP and AMD deliver more desktop computers with exceptional visual performance, enhanced energy efficiency, and advanced security features, available in a range of sleek, space-saving designs. Give everyone in your agency the power to perform at a price that makes it possible. Give them the power of HP and AMD. To find out how, go to hp.com/go/perform.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
The National Institute of Standards and Technology is laying the foundation for what could eventually become a nationwide interoperable network of emergency communications for the nation's first responders. The 4G network would replace a hodgepodge of proprietary local radio systems that can't communicate with each other and lack data capabilities. NIST is trying to determine what capabilities are already available from commercial industry and which ones will have to be created through R&D efforts.
General Dynamics Information Technology is dedicated to providing the latest, highest quality information technology services and resources to help organizations meet their mission objectives. Large-scale IT systems and communications networks are the strategic and operational heart of defense, intelligence, civilian government, and private business. They require the expertise of a company that delivers results. General Dynamics Information Technology, information technology and professional services. Go to GDIT.com to learn more. That's GDIT.com.
Tom Temin here with a preview of tomorrow's Federal Drive. Have you heard about the federal manager who won a $50,000 prize for a cost-cutting idea? He works at Transportation. He joins us to talk about his achievement. Plus, the Small Business Coalition reacts to the president's order to speed up payments to small business contractors. Those stories and more tomorrow morning starting at 6 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. And for all the latest federal news, be sure to visit federalnewsradio.com.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Cynthia Henderson is my guest. She's an instructor at the Graduate School USA, teaches management and, in particular, telework. And we're talking about telework on the program today. You talked about going to agencies and doing training on telework at the various levels. Let's start with the rank and file employees. When you do telework training with them, I imagine they have a lot of questions about what they're able to do and so on. What are they asking you at these sessions?
Well, one of the things that we do is really to get clear about what their policy is and to understand every federal agency was directed by Congress to create a telework policy that their particular agency would follow that would be suitable for their agencies, all and not the same. And so with every agency that I go to, one of the first things I want to make sure that they understand is what is their policy. And to go through it, I have questions that I ask throughout to make sure that the key parts are covered and that the employees understand what is it they can or cannot do and what's suitable or not suitable and the parameters for it. And also where there are collective bargaining agreements, if those are, they usually have collective bargaining agreements related to telework as well. So what's in there as well? Usually it mirrors the telework policy of the agency. So some of the concerns that the rank and file employees would ask would be, okay, so I have to carry my laptop home every day if I want to telework, and that's a question. And if there is a, like the earthquake that came, so some people were not able to get into the office and there may have been, you could have unscheduled telework. That works if you have your material at home.
Right.
But if you don't know about it in advance, so how do you do that? How do you make sure that there's enough work to do that you can work from an alternate location and still be productive and accountable? So those are the kind of questions that they ask. The primary one was, do I have to lug this material home every day and was, back every night?
Was material the word that they actually used?
No, they did
used,
not
that
use
kind of
that
figure.
Language. A little harsher. I tried to clean it up. This is radio.
I appreciate that. There is that whole license thing we have to think about. So when you talk to the managers and you work with the managers on training, and as we talked about, a lot of folks believe that the managers are the kind of the last resistors to telework in many cases. What are they asking you?
Well, once I get past the gruff, the growl, and the frowns on their faces, because they don't want to be there, they most of them come kicking and screaming. They do not want to do it. They don't see the benefit of it, and they actually think it's more work on them. And it may be, but it is just the work they are supposed to be doing anyway. So the questions that the managers ask relate to the equipment that the employees may need, who has to provide that. Again, I take them through the policy as well. They need to understand what does the policy say. Some of the other questions, they want to require that some of the people who telework, that they have to have special reporting that you don't provide for the people in the office. Can't do that. It's good management. What you require from one, you require from all. That is a lot of resistance. I can't see you, so I don't know if you're actually working. So I need to ask more questions of you, and I need to have you more accountable to really account for every single thing you do every hour of the day. Super micromanaging. Well, you can't do that if you don't do that in the office. So there is some resistance. Again, with the managers, it usually goes back to, if I cannot see you, how can I verify that you are actually working? And what we finally end up with is, how do you verify anybody is working? That is through their results. So how do you set it up as a manager to have performance-based management, performance-based results? What are your outcomes that you anticipate, that you want to achieve? How is it going to be done? Who's going to do it? When is it going to be done? What evidence is there that it has been completed? That's the same thing you use for telework, but you should also be using that in the office. And the challenge with the managers is they're not using it in the office, and this does require more work from them.
Does it require more work forever, or is it one of those things where if we put a little bit of work in on the front end, get the thing rolling, then it kind of takes care of itself after a while, and we go back to a normal routine after a while?
If they are, now, and I misspoke, all managers do not get to the point where they don't want to, they don't manage.
Sure.
Because most of them do. There are a few that are resisting. If you put a good management system in place, no matter where it is, you still have to maintain it and you have to monitor. And all of the employees have to be on board with this, this is the expectation. So clarity about what's expected of them in the office and out of the office, clarity about how the team will operate, clarity about how you will have meetings. All of that is just the structure you have to put in place. You know, we can't have a meeting if everybody's teleworking every day of the week and you don't have a critical mass. So for managers, it has to be, okay, so there are 2 days of the week where no one is teleworking. That's the day that we're all in the office, we're focusing. So putting systems in place to ensure that you have a quality product and a quality outcome really requires thinking it through a bit. And once that's done, you just manage it and just monitor the process. So that's what it takes.
It sounds to me, though, like what you're saying is for managers who already have that routine in place, this isn't going to be a big deal.
Indeed.
This isn't going to be difficult. And if you don't have that structure in place, then it doesn't matter if your employees are in the office or if they're teleworking, because you're not doing it right anyway.
That's it.
Am I right there?
That's it.
Okay. When we come back from the break, I want to ask you about how this conversation goes with the SESers and what the upper level managers, the managers of the managers, are asking you about this stuff. My guest is Cynthia Henderson. She's an instructor in management and telework at the Graduate School USA, and we'll continue our conversation about telework in the federal government in just a moment on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Do you know us? You count on our technology every day. The office elevator that takes you up and down efficiently. The jet engine that gets you home safely. The fire suppression system you hope you never need, but know is there. You count on things we make to protect you from harm, and even to keep you cool and comfortable. Our technologies are a critical part of your everyday life. Yet many people don't even know who we are. Our name is United Technologies. We are Carrier, Hamilton Sunstrand, Otis, Pratt & Whitney, Sikorsky, and UTC Fire and Security. Six businesses united as one powerful company. In fact, we are one of the largest manufacturers in the United States, which likely makes us the biggest company you've never heard of, even though you depend on us every single day. United Technologies. Get to know more about us at UTC.com.
Government technology professionals should prepare to attend GovCom 2011, the new trade show featuring government audiovisual communication solutions at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center, November 1st and 2nd, featuring nearly 100 leading manufacturers and solutions providers showcasing the latest in audio-video, conferencing, collaboration, control systems, digital signage, and visual display technologies. GovCom will help government agencies and the military boost collaboration, enhance security, improve reliability, and cut costs. GovCom is your opportunity to see cutting-edge communications products, network with fellow technology professionals, and get valuable training from leading experts in government and industry. For more information and your free exhibits pass, visit GovCom with two M's, show.org, and use the code FED. That's govcomshow.org. GovCom is brought to you by Infocom International, the association representing the audiovisual industry.
Donating to United Way at the National Capital Area and its charities is an easy way to champion a cause. With every payroll deduction, you can be a knight in shining armor battling childhood diabetes or illiteracy, or a fairy godmother granting job skills, elder care, or shelter from domestic abuse. Choose CFC code 31408 and be a superhero to those in need in our community. No cape required. Amazing things happen when we stand united.
Scarlet fever. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. Scarlet fever has a scary name, and it can be a bad disease, but it doesn't have to be. At the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, pediatrician Catherine Fleming Dutra says the infectious bacterium that causes scarlet fever is the same as the one that causes strep throat and can be treated with antibiotics. Fleming Dutra says scarlet fever's telltale symptom is a rash that typically starts at the neck and spreads to the chest, arms, and legs. Scarlet fever affects children, although it can affect anyone. Treated early, scarlet fever can be mild, but she says you need to see a doctor.
If left untreated, it can result in serious complications like kidney disease, throat abscesses, and even rheumatic fever, which affects the heart.
Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
Join 36,000 people from around the world, including senior leaders from the Army, DOD, and Congress, at the 2011 AUSA Annual Meeting and Exposition. This professional development forum is October 10th through the 12th at the Washington Convention Center and features exhibits on two levels and in five halls, all centered around this year's theme, America's Army, the Strength of the Nation. Admission is free but limited to qualified persons. For more information, please visit www.ausa.org.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Cynthia Henderson, an instructor at the Graduate School USA, is my guest for the hour. We're talking about telework. And we've talked about some of the training, some of the questions that you get as you do training at federal agencies, and you deal with some of the rank-and-file employees who are eligible for telework or who want to be eligible for telework. And we talked about some of the questions that you get from the managers who supervise those people. What about the upper-level folks, the SES level and political appointee-level people who want to know what's going on maybe a layer or two or even three below them when it comes to telework?
Well, Francis, the biggest concern for the upper-level management is really how to get the managers below them, how to get the managers to embrace telework.
Mm-hmm.
That is their biggest challenge because they've gotten the directive from the secretary and the president, and so they are ready to implement it, but that requires that they work through their managers to embrace it and get the employees on board and approve the telework arrangements. So their biggest question is how to get their managers engaged in it. And as one assistant secretary stated at an agency I did recently, he said that was their biggest challenge. And so the question was how to do it. And so I said, well, the best way that I know how to do it is to train them. And Graduate School USA, we do lots of training with all of the federal agencies as it relates to telework training, especially the managers. And we started with the managers because we saw that that was the area that needed the biggest challenge area.
Mm-hmm.
So it needed the most attention the quickest. So we started focusing on them, and we've seen a dramatic difference in the number of people teleworking as a result of the training that they got. And the training is really just to understand the policy and to reduce people's fears about it. So what does it mean for me? What do I get out of this as a manager? What are the pluses and the minuses? And once they understand that and can really begin to not fear it so much, they then start to embrace it more and more. And so you start them off with incremental steps, like, okay, at least start with one or two people where you know that they're really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing that they look at is telework is not for everyone. While you have a large percentage of people that will telework, there are some people whose jobs are not suitable for teleworking, and that we talk about with the SES as well. Their tasks are not suitable for teleworking. So it may be that you don't telework all week.
Mm-hmm.
You may telework 2 days a week or 2 days a pay period or 1 day a week. So looking at how do you do it, who can do it, what works best. Example, someone said, well, the Secret Service, they can't telework. Yes, they can, because they, while they may be doing their jobs, they still have 1 day they've got to write reports.
Mm-hmm.
And you do not have to be in the office to write a report. The other challenge with SES was that we want to make sure that the data is secure. And that was a huge issue for them.
Mm-hmm.
Security of data, major, major, major concern.
Mm-hmm.
But that has even been addressed with, and we can talk about that more with computing in the clouds.
Yeah, we will talk about that. I wanted to ask you, though, you talk about telework not being for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
One area you didn't address is there are some employees where they're really, a manager can make a very good legitimate case that I probably should keep an eye on that person.
Yes.
On a pretty regular basis. Not for malfeasance necessarily, but just because, you know, Francis might need a little boot in the backside every once in a while to make sure he sticks with the project that he needs to do. That's a managerial issue, which goes back to what you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Before. Talk about that decision-making process, about how you decide, well, I've got a team of six people, and maybe there is one person in there. These other five folks are okay. I have pretty good confidence they're going to stay productive, but I really would like to pull this one person aside and make sure that they're here every day.
Well, the way teleworking operates is that the employee makes the request for it. The
mm-hmm.
managers don't make that request. The employee makes the request.
Right.
And the managers do have to approve or disapprove. Now, where there is an opportunity for that the manager is not comfortable with a person's productivity level, that should be an issue whether they're teleworking or not teleworking. And so with that issue, that manager should be having conversations about how to improve the performance of that employee. And as they're having that conversation, teleworking may not be the option at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But if they improve their performance to an acceptable level that they can all agree on, then you can look at teleworking as an option.
Mm-hmm.
But before then, there is a performance issue that has to be addressed first. So again, the mix up of teleworking is something other than a performance management concern. It is performance management. That's all it is. Teleworking is just an alternative site for doing the actual work.
Do you get questions from both the employees and the managers about the process of setting up that plan? I imagine that that's not a rote procedure that every single one works the same. I imagine every single one would be unique.
Every agency sets up its own telework policy, and they have to have a telework agreement with the employees. And there are two different types of agreements. One is the regular telework agreement, where is you may have agreed to one day pay period that you would be on telework, or 2 days, however many days you set it up, and that's your official day to be not in the office, but you're conducting work in an alternate location. The other one is called situational or episodic. They have different names for the different agencies. And that is when you may have a project that you're working on, and you may need some devoted time to just address that project and not be interrupted. Some of it, where you may have a medical issue that augments the time where you can have your medical issue but also be able to work. So that may be a situation as well. It works very well for that. And it could be that you have one where you have a hurricane that comes and you need to have an alternate work site. That's, again, situational. So the arrangements that set up, they really do accommodate whatever needs there are. Now, how to make sure that that's effective and how to make sure that everyone is operating within that is you have to have an agreement in place first, and that's what the agencies have worked on. You have to have a policy first. Policy is overall agency. This is how we will, in fact, implement telework in our agency. So after that, each employee has to have a telework agreement. So if you're going to telework, you need to have an agreement in place that says, "This I have an office set up at my alternate site that meets all of these needs, that I have a space to work, that I have the equipment that I need to get the work done," so that you agree to all of that. And then, okay, you verify that that's the case for you, and then your supervisor signs off on it.
Let's have a little bit of fun when we come back from the break. Let's do a little role-playing. I'm going to be the employee, and you've signed off on my telework request, and so now I'm going to come in. We're going to go through that exchange that you just talked about. I want you to walk me through what that might sound like, how that might work, to give both the employee and the manager an idea of what a successful setup sounds like. Does that sound good?
That sounds good.
All right, great. We'll do that when we come back. My guest is Cynthia Henderson of the Graduate School USA on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The Cloud Computing Report is brought to you by Trusted Enterprise Cloud, an innovative cloud computing solution from Harris Corporation and VMware.
The National Institute of Standards and Technology has published two new documents on cloud computing. The first identifies current cloud computing standards and standardization gaps. The second, a cloud reference architecture, lays out the difference between cloud consumers, providers, brokers, auditors, and carriers. The agency says it was designed to create a level playing field for cloud contractors. NIST expects to publish the documents in November as part of its cloud computing technology roadmap.
Are you looking to move software and applications to the cloud, but you're concerned about security and reliability? Then take a look at Trusted Enterprise Cloud, a world-class cloud computing system with patented trust technology built in. Go to harris.com/cloud. And you can request a design review with a solutions architect. That's harris.com/cloud.
How are federal agencies such as the U.S. Department of Energy managing for performance and results? How have the Recovery Act and the GPRA Modernization Act of 2010 changed the way federal departments operate? Join host Michael Keegan on the next The Business of Government Hour as he explores these questions and so much more with Jay Hoffman, Director of the Office of Program Analysis and Evaluation within the U.S. Department of Energy.
Newsmakers on In Depth with Francis Rose.
House Homeland Security Committee Ranking Member Benny Thompson.
Despite being the new kid on the block, according to the recent GAO report, things are moving along. One of the positive aspects of putting the department together and over $300 billion in resources in it is that we've not had a successful incident on the homeland since 9/11.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.
Here's your chance to get out for some fun. Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News.
We always like to let you know about cruises, and there's a good deal for active duty military folks right now. Sado Vacations is promoting discounts of up to 20% on cruises to Europe and the Caribbean through December 31st of this year. These are Royal Caribbean cruises, and you can find out more about this particular deal on page 62 of the September Recreation News, or, of course, at recreationnews.com.
And do you have some other cruise news?
We sure do. Recreation News is giving away a cruise to the Bahamas on Royal Caribbean. You can find the details and the contest entry on page 21 of the September issue of Recreation News. You can also enter online. There's one entry per household, though. The cruise sails from Baltimore in December, and the drawing will be held on November the 14th. All you're going to pay for this is the port taxes and your incidentals.
Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News. I'm Ruben Gomez.
We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Cynthia Henderson of Graduate School USA, my guest, talking about telework and the agencies that do it successfully and how they do it. We talked about doing some role-playing before the break. So I am the employee, and I have requested to be able to telework, and that request has been approved by you, my manager, Cynthia, and I thank you for that because I'm looking forward to working from an alternative workplace. So you and I are going to sit down now, and we are going to work out the terms under which I do this. And so what, as the employee, do I need to bring to this conversation? What do I need to be prepared to do when I sit down with my manager?
When you sit down with your manager, there's a telework agreement that each employee needs to complete before telework is approved. And with the telework agreement, there is a safety checklist for the work site, wherever they will be working, and that the employee checks off and makes sure that they verify that the home environment, wherever they're going to be working, is a safe environment to conduct business.
Okay.
And that they have a computer workstation, and that the environment is suitable so that they can do at home or alternate site computing.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, those two, the agreement in place, now it's time to look at you and your manager. So what work will you be performing? And it's not just at your alternate work site. What work will you be performing this week or this two-week period, however long we're going to be measuring mm-hmm. and having the conversation? Hopefully, people sit down with their managers once a week or once every 2 weeks to really go over what it is they're going to be doing or supposed to be doing and how well they have achieved that.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be the part of the same conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to be working on this week? And let's talk about the outcomes that are to be achieved as a result of your work doing this. Let's just do a two-week period.
Okay. So I've got my safety checklist, and I've got information for you about my computer workstation. What are you as the manager going to bring to this meeting to be able to either questions you're going to want to ask me or information you're going to want to convey to me?
So after we have the agreement in place mm-hmm. that you sign and I sign,
okay.
verifying, so now you and I have the conversation about what are you going to be working on, and then you and I will talk about, so let's talk about the response time,
mm-hmm.
code of conduct response time.
Okay.
So if I call you at home or wherever you're going to be,
mm-hmm.
so there is a 15-minute grace period
okay.
in which I expect you to respond back to me. And that's generous. You could be in the bathroom. You could be on the telephone.
Sure.
You could be working on a project, wherever.
Uh-huh.
15 minutes. And we both need to agree that that is what you're going to do. And that's my expectation and your expectation.
Okay.
The work getting done. If I expect that something is done by the close of business means whatever our normal core hours are.
So if I'd normally leave work at 5:30, and we agree something's going to be done COB today, then 5:30, it better be in your inbox.
Done. Yes.
Okay.
And what we also will agree on is what are the normal working hours. And the normal working hours are whatever our office hours are. even though you're at home, you may, or wherever you are, your alternate work site, you may work till 12 o'clock at night. That's wonderful, but those are not billable hours.
Mm-hmm.
So you 5:30, that's, or whatever your hours of work, your normal hours of work are, that's the cutoff time. And in order to be approved for time beyond that, that's overtime, we have to have the conversation first.
Mm-hmm.
So it's clear that, and that will be a part of the policy, that in order for you to do overtime work, that you must clear it with me first, and we have to have a conversation about what you're doing, why you're doing it, and why extra time is needed.
Is that a misunderstanding for some managers? I've heard people say, well, our hours are this to this, say 9 to 5, and I don't want somebody who thinks they can work from 2 o'clock in the afternoon till midnight just because they're at home. That's what, from what you're talking about, that's an issue that goes out the window right away, because you're agreeing right up front.
Yes.
The employee is saying, I'm going to be available when mm-hmm. everybody else in my office is
yes.
available.
And that's the key, available when everyone else is. If you are part of a team, you cannot be on the team working at 10 o'clock at night mm-hmm. and everyone else is home
right.
and the team needs you. So how are you going to be available and a part of that team? You're just in an alternate work site, but you are still a part of that team. And if you have customers that are outside of the agency, if they need to contact you, a lot of the technology now has it so the phone rings at your office, but it also rings at your cell phone
mm-hmm.
or your home location. So you have a separate line for that if you want to, or just rings at your cell phone.
Right.
So you have to be available then.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot be available at midnight and trying to conduct business when our office hours are at a set time and people need to access us then.
Do the employees have that misconception, too, that they think telework means that they can work, they have to work the amount of hours, but they can do them whenever they want?
Sometimes they do,
yeah.
until they read the policy. And at the Graduate School USA, we take them through the policy.
It sounds like that's where the crux of this is,
yes.
is that the folks all through that list that you talked about, the SESers, the upper-level people, the managers on the front lines, and the employees are not maybe doing what they could to know the policy, live the policy.
The people who know the policy and live it are the telework coordinators that probably wrote it.
Uh-huh.
Anyone else? Okay, it's another document sitting there.
Yeah.
And until they are encouraged to read it and apply it,
mm-hmm.
then usually they're overwhelmed. They've got so many other things to do. They usually may not get to that. It's like, okay, I know telework. Telework means you can work from there, and I'm going to manage you like I've been managing you. Let me look and see that you're actually doing it.
Yeah.
No, this is a different paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
And it prepares them for it. And I love the courses we do at the Graduate School USA. It really does help people get it.
Anything else that's going to go on in that meeting between me, the employee, and you, the manager, about my starting to telework?
The equipment is going to be an issue.
Okay.
And the equipment that usually the employees ask. So if I'm teleworking, are you going to supply the equipment? And do I have to pay for the phone lines? And what do I have to pay for?
Uh-huh.
And so, again, it depends on what's in the policy. Some agencies will pay for the equipment that they need in an alternate location. Some agencies, you use your own equipment, and sometimes it's supplies as well. So it just depends on what's in the policy that you will be either reimbursed or that you use your own to make sure that this works. There is one other thing in there. And that is, this doesn't happen all the time, but it is a requirement that the employee signs off and says that the manager has the right to visit and to make sure that they have a location that's suitable for work.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that they're going to come in and see that they're working every day. I had a group of employees say, well, actually, there were two in an agency that just did a telework seminar for it. And they said, well, I don't want a manager coming to my house. My house is sacred. They can't come to my house. Yeah, but if you sign that telework agreement, that means that they can inspect. Now, they have to give you notice.
Uh-huh.
They can't just pop up. But they have the right to inspect that you do have a place that you can work from an alternate location. And some people don't want to have that happen. In which case, well, you may not be a good candidate for telework.
Yeah, because if you sign that agreement, your house isn't just your house anymore. Your house is also your office some of the time.
Exactly.
And since you don't work for yourself anymore.
Yes.
Yeah.
But see, what was the person was under the perception that the managers, all they have to do is come, you know, they want to go around and see if anybody's working. And at that day, there was so much traffic on 395, I said, just look out the window. Tell me that you've got a manager that wants to go through all of that traffic to get to your house and turn around and come back in the other part of that traffic.
Yeah.
They don't want to do that. All you have to do is produce. That's all they're interested in.
That we get back to that, we've come back to that a number of times. What that really is, the bottom line, isn't it, for a teleworking employee and for the manager to become completely comfortable for this is seeing those results.
Exactly.
All
exactly.
Right.
And I've got to tell you, the people that have teleworked, they love it. Mm-hmm. And because they love it so much, they are so much more productive because, again, you have just that time to devote to whatever it is you're doing without all of the interruptions in the office. But they want to make sure they keep that arrangement because it's a good arrangement. You don't have to commute to work. It's like a 2-minute commute versus a 2-hour commute.
Yeah, yeah.
It's wonderful.
It's worth hanging on to and doing what you need to make sure it continues.
Exactly.
Right? We're going to wrap up in just a minute on In Depth with Frances Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest is Cynthia Henderson. She is an expert, as you can tell, on telework and an instructor for the Graduate School USA. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Government personnel must continue to achieve mission-critical objectives no matter their work environment. Video conferencing technologies provide a highly effective collaboration solution for federal employees affected by budget cuts, BRAC initiatives, and telework mandates if they are secure based on open standards and deployable in limited bandwidth environments. Polycom is the first video provider to have an ultimate HD portfolio that is JITC certified, offering real-time face-to-face communication without compromising secure networks or consuming excessive bandwidth. Polycom enables government customers to collaborate over voice and video anywhere, anytime, securely both inside and outside the firewall, offering high-definition video calls at half the bandwidth of other companies. To learn more, visit polycom.com/federal.
The Telework Center arms you with all the information you need to know about teleworking in the federal government. Go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword Polycom.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. CDWG, the people who get it.
See more, do more, get more. HP notebook PCs powered by Vision Pro technology from AMD simply deliver more. Graphics made incredible, multitasking made easy, high performance made possible. Designed with HP mobile innovations that let productivity happen anywhere, anytime. Notebooks built to handle big demands. Price so your budget can handle it. Give your agency the power of HP and AMD. To find out how, go to hp.com/go/perform.
Is your agency consolidating data centers? Want an instant snapshot to see which servers are really doing useful work? Looking for ways to inventory all applications and cut software costs? 1E, a leader in IT efficiency software, specializes in application and server rationalization, the first step in the consolidation process. Make better decisions about decommissioning or virtualization. Go to 1E.com to find out how they can help. That's the number 1, the letter E.com. 1E, empowering IT efficiency and cost reduction for today's federal agency.
Hi, this is Michelle Moore, the Federal Environmental Executive. I'd like to invite you to join us at the 2011 GreenGov Symposium, co-hosted by the White House Council on Environmental Quality and the Association of Climate Change Officers, for 3 days of cutting-edge educational sessions on the business of sustainability and greening the government. Connect with more than 1,000 of your peers at this year's GreenGov from October 31st to November 2nd in Washington, D.C. For more information and to register online, visit greengov2011.org.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Just a few minutes left with Cynthia Henderson of Graduate School USA. One of the elements that we didn't get a chance to talk about and want to touch on before I let you go is security and how cloud computing is playing into telework. What's the convergence there?
Well, with cloud computing, there is something that's being done with, I think it's done twice a year, and it's a telework town hall meeting that they have to really help federal government managers focus on how to make sure that you can encourage your people to telework, but also deal with the issue of data security, because that is a huge concern. Once the information leaves the office, then what happens? As you know, with one of the agencies, I think someone lost their laptop or someone stole their laptop, and all of the Social Security numbers and all of that critical data was lost and out there.
It's happened a couple of times, yeah.
And it just required a lot of reconfiguration on their part. So what's happening now is that because of those kind of situations, that there is a flash drive that you can take from your desktop and plug it into your laptop at home or your alternate work site, and it mimics all of the information. If anything happens to that flash drive, they can shut it down, being the controllers of the information with the networks, can shut it down immediately so that all of the information is wiped off of that. If you take that flash drive out of your desktop or your home computer, that it becomes a ghost, that it's like it never was there.
Mm-hmm.
So no one can see that data or use that data.
Right.
And that provides you an opportunity to go from one place to the other. And if you need to have it, another one replaced, the old one is wiped clean and you're issued a new one with all of the information on your desktop, which really provides a lot of flexibility from people going from one place to the other without dragging all of the files with them, all of the heavy equipment. It's all on a flash drive, and it is fabulous. The same thing with the computers that are the satellites that they have. I was telling you earlier that the satellites blanket North America, and it's a wonder you really get sun through these days because there's so many satellites up there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really to make sure that the data is transferred wherever it needs to be transferred. This has been worked out, and it's phenomenal.
We're almost out of time, and so I would love to have you come back at some point and talk about technology and what technology is permitting in the telework realm.
Yes.
It would be great to continue this conversation.
Is there one more thing to say about that?
Real quick, we're almost out of time.
Okay, the last thing about that is the agencies are now buying equipment so that they are equipped with cameras and laptops so that they're more portable, rethinking the whole idea of let's make sure it's portable from one place to the other.
Excellent. Cynthia, it's great to have you here. I had a really good time talking about this with you.
I enjoyed it.
Thank you very much. Cynthia Henderson's an instructor at the Graduate School USA in the areas of telework, supervision, leadership, and we didn't even get to talk about leadership. We'll do that when Cynthia comes back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.